Hi, welcome to this segment on relevance and significance of financial management as part of the financial management part 1 program. So what is financial managers, what do they aim to achieve? So financial managers attempt to achieve wealth maximization, and how do they do it? So they want to do it through routine activities such as credit and inventory management and long-term decisions on maximizing your returns on the investment, as well as having an optimized capital structure for the business. In this session, we will try to cover the following objectives. What is the scope of financial management? Cash flows, which is a very important part of any business. Relationships with financial bodies, because financial bodies are the ones who ensure that you get the loans when you require in various forms. So you have to build relation with them. How do you do that? Then pay package of employees. So how does a pay structure, which becomes a cost in the organization, in the business entity, how does financial management ensure that you have a best of pay structure? At the same time, it should be covered in the returns that you're going to make. Then in today's time, you have a lot of incentives that has to be given. So there has to be an incentive policy, and the cost of incentive has to be factored in while deciding the revenue for the organization. Then what kind of credit policy should you have for your suppliers and customers? The kind of dividend policy that you must have for your shareholders, and long-term financing that you will require. So as a CFO, you look at inventory control, you look at pricing your products, you look at how to raise funds, you look at the risk versus returns, what kind of risk you carry, what kind of returns you are looking at, and how do you optimize the same, and the credit control which is required for the business to grow in an optimal way and there are no hiccups. All of them are linked together. They are not independent. While from outside or from a junior level it looks very independent, but they are all linked together with a common thread of money, finance, and therefore the role of CFO becomes much more complicated, as any decision in any of this area and beyond this has an impact on other areas, and hence the ability of a CFO, the quality of CFO is very important in financial management. So let's start with it. Financial management is a combination of economics and accounting. Economics plays a major role in the financial decisions that you take, as the CFO is expected to know the risk analysis, how to price the products. And you can only price the products after understanding the supply and demand elements, which forms a major part of economics. Then what is the market? What is the net present value concept for the justification of long-term investments or determining the true worth of the entity that you're working for? So what is the net present value, NPV as it is called? While accounting is a vehicle that carries the financial data to the users in the form of income statement, balance sheet, or fund flow statement, as it is called. So financial management is a combination of both economics and accounting. Finance provides the bridge between economic theory and numbers of accounting. So what numbers are there? Basis the economics theory that you have used to make a decision, and the numbers of accounting validate the decisions if you have taken, whether it's a right decision or a wrong decision, and gives you an opportunity to course correct. A CFO uses both of it to interpret the data so that he ensures you can maximize the entity's return and therefore increase its net worth. All the company executives, as discussed in the previous segment, whether in production, sales, research, marketing, general management, customer service, etc., must therefore familiarize themselves with the accounting data presented to them from time to time so that they can access, you know, assess for themselves how their function is contributing to the corporate business strategy. There's an all important profit and loss account statement and balance sheet of the organization, which is based on principle of accrual, which means if the goods worth 80 rupees is sold for 100, 20 rupees is shown as income and profit and loss, even though this amount is not available for the organization till the customer pays for its sale. So if you have a credit policy which is of 30 days, you will show profit of 20 rupees today, but actually you can use that cash only after 30 days, and that also if the customer pays on time. What therefore becomes important is statement of cash flows. So statement of cash flows emphasizes the critical nature of cash for day-to-day functions of the business, and it focuses on translating the accrual based income into actual rupee terms. So both profit and loss account statement and cash flow have to be studied together to understand how business is operating. And therefore we'll come to the important thing, topic of how the management of cash flows take place. Now two scenarios are explained in this particular slide to explain why cash flows are important and why cash flows needs to be understood in detail in comparison to profit and loss statement. So first example is that there's a firm and it has reported a net loss of 3 lakh rupees for a year. However, the firm has also provided for depreciation of 4 lakh rupees. Now depreciation is a non-cash item, and therefore the firm will still have 1 lakh cash in hand at the end of the year, although it is showing a net loss of 3 lakh rupees in the profit and loss statement. The other example is the firm reports a profit of 3 lakhs, but they have less 1 lakh if they have invested that money, 4 lakhs, to buy a machine or some services, because that item does not appear in the income statement, it only appears in the firm's balance sheet. These two examples will give you an idea that while income and expense statement is a very important statement to understand the business operation, it does not give you the liquidity aspects of the business. The liquidity aspect of the business, which is equally important, because if I need to get money and I don't have cash in hand, then I will not be able to pay certain things, although my books may show I am profitable. Because the liquidity aspect is so important, cash flow therefore becomes very important statement in the overall scheme of things. The thing is, now we have understood that from a financial plan, the CFO business plan tells the organization how the organization intends to do business, what kind of resources it is ready to put in business, and how will that resources be funded. The CFO then plans out the long term duration fund required, the medium term and the short term. So who gives this funds? One of the important pillars of financial economy is the financial institutions, which provides funds to the organization. And when I say financial institution, banks also form a part of it. However, banks are treated separately and financial institutes are treated separately, because banks can sometimes not give you a very long duration products while financial institutions can. So CFO has to rely very heavily on these institutes, the bank and financial, and has to build a very good relationship with them. The relationship obviously has to have mutually beneficial to each other. And if you're starting a business, then the first thing the public limited company is doing is raising capital, equity capital in the market. Now financial institutions and bank manages the entire exercise of public issue of equity by acting as lead managers. And the success obviously of the initial public offer, because that's where you're going to get money to start your business, is very important. And a trust-based relation with the banks is a key factor for this. Now CFO, business has started, you have raised money from the capital market. Now you require further funds for business. and these further funds can come from debt. So debt financing as compared to equity is a cash borrowed with from a lender at a fixed rate of interest or floating rate of interest or interest to be reset at certain period. These are various variants of how to raise capital, debt capital, and it comes with a predetermined maturity date. The principal has to be paid back in full at the maturity date. However, the interest has to be paid periodically and is a part of loan agreement. Sometimes even principal prepayment or principal payment at a periodic interval is a part of loan agreement. So once the business operation starts, the CFO of the entity has to rely upon the firm standing with the bank to get fresh finance for either expansion or any major capital expenditure. The CFO or his team approaches the banks themselves or other financial institutions like IFCI, IDBI, SIDC and others for the same. Last but not the least, firms also require short-term capital to fill in their gaps in the working capital management by borrowing short-term funds as and when they require. Working capital, as we all know, is a net of current assets minus current liabilities. So if there is a gap between that, the CFO can borrow short-term money and pay back. So CFO normally arranges for a long-term overdraft agreement with more than one bank to fulfill this fund requirement or for short term. Therefore, when cash is needed and it is not available in the account of the bank of the company, then the banks give an overdraft and the cash requirement of the entity is then fulfilled. Another area which is very important in today's time is the people management, employee rewards. How do we ensure that? We need people who are self-motivated, because that is a decisive factor in today's environment, and there are various mechanisms to keep the employees motivated. However, effective employee reward system is a very important scheme that attempts to meet the employees' financial expectation from their organization and the employer. So now CFO has a dual function in the employee rewards system. The first is to ensure that the wage packet, which is the sum of total employee money, is delivered to the employee to him or her on a regular basis and on due date, and more importantly without an error. So whatever monthly outgo or any other mechanism of outgo, they have to be paid on time and correct to the person in the organization. The second is frame the pay package in such a way that it is very attractive to the employees and however makes economic sense to the organization. So he needs to structure the pay packet that gives salary which is equal to, depends on the employee performance, and whoever contributes most to the profitability and the growth of organization must be given a bit more. At the same time, it should not be so expensive that one cannot afford that employee. Therefore, it is very important, necessary to consider what is the firm expecting from an individual in the next financial year. Incentives also have to be framed accordingly. For an enterprise which has manufacturing thing, material cost is an important component of the total cost of the organization. Any variation in material cost has a direct impact on the profit margin, obviously. So the primary finance function in areas of purchase is to ensure that the vendors are paid for their supplies on agreed credit terms. Now, how does it impact the management of purchase? So obviously you have to pay on time on an agreed terms to the partners or the vendors, as this reduces the vendor complaints. And because if there are less complaints or no complaints, you get timely deliveries of whatever you order. Now, if you delay the payment, then the vendors also do not meet the delivery schedule. If the vendors do not meet your expected delivery schedule, then two things can happen. The first thing is, obviously, when you require material for production and the material is not there, your production will come to a halt. The people employed in the production unit, however, will still need to be paid. Whatever items in investment already done in a work in progress kind of scenarios is already a sunk investment. So you are losing money if your production is halted for whatever reason. The second scenario is that you may try to compensate for delay of delivery, and therefore you will order more than what is required because you know the next batch may be possibly delayed. Now, by ordering more than what you require, you not only pay more in advance, you also need to store this. Therefore, you take up space, and space is also a cost. You also risk damage to the material which is there in the storage, and if it is a perishable item, then the risk increases exponentially. Therefore, a good vendor relationship, like a good financial institution relationship, is very important in an organization which is going to do manufacturing activities. Actually, it is true for any organization, but primarily more in manufacturing industry. Now, how can a finance function help? So, finance function helps in the purchases by arriving at a payment terms that are beneficial both to the organization and to the supplier. In some cases, annual contracts for supplies are given so that the vendor knows what kind of material and when he has to deliver, and the organization knows at what price they will get material, and a good quality and timely delivery of the material can be ensured. And then of course it reduces in prices in the supplier side, because he can plan well, he can make optimum utilization of his capacity, and for us we get at a less price. Also, significant price reductions can be obtained by the company if you provide funds to the vendors to increase their production capacity. So cost of funds for your supplier is higher because they are smaller in nature, and then if we have lower cost of funds, we can think of providing some funds to the supplier, resulting him to lower his cost and therefore give you an attractive price. In capital goods industry, finance team should also normally gets involved in a sales negotiation when it is being prepared for project or sale of equipment. If we are an industry leader in our industry, then we get better credit terms. So for example, if market gets 20% advance with order, we can get 25% advance with the order. Also, we have to manage the finance on the sales side. So the CFO has two major choices in determining the firm's credit policy for its customers. So one, you can employ a very strict credit policy and say no credit to any customer, irrespective of credit rating, or you could provide a very liberal credit policy and give like 30 days credit or 45 days or 50 days credit to all customers irrespective of their credit rating. What it will imply, such decision? So if you take a strict credit policy, it will have a very adverse effect on the sales, but the benefit is that your collection cost will reduce, your bad debts will come down, and the size of receivables will be very low. Liberal policy, however, will increase the sales, but it may increase your collection cost, your bad debts can rise, and your receivables anyway will be raised to the extent of the credit limit that you have given. So a decision for the CFO can lead to more customer, more sales income, however with a higher collection cost, bad debts, and the size of receivables in a liberal credit policy. So what does a CFO decide? How does he decide? So one of the method is he doesn't take both the extremes, but tries to find a middle path where the finance can help the sales to closely scrutinize the customer's past payment record, financial stability, amount of receivables that will be outstanding during the year, and then propose credit terms. To minimize trade receivables and cost in terms of follow-up to collect them, so many firms offer cash discount. So therefore, receivables are effectively managed. Finance team can help to the extent of how much cash discount it can provide. In the receivable space, the finance managers control the receivables by determining and reducing or trying to reduce average collection period. They monitor and minimize the ratios of bad debts to credit sales, and they keep a hawk eye on the aging of receivables. One of the important pillars is the shareholder. As a CFO or as the finance professional, one has to look at the shareholder and therefore manage the shareholder relationship. The shareholders are actually the owners of the company, and one of the objectives as the owner of the company is to maximize the wealth or returns for the money that they have invested. So that also becomes an overriding objective of the firm and influences business decision. What does the shareholder expect from the firm? They expect the increase in market price of the shares they hold, because that gives them capital gains. They also expect regular dividend in cash wherever possible, and bonus shares issued at the regular intervals, which helps them to increase their return on capital employed. Now, CFO uses the marginal principle of retained earning in arriving at dividend decision. One of the objectives before the CFO is to make the best use of available funds. The rate of return that a firm can achieve on retained earning has to be compared with what shareholders would earn if these funds were distributed as dividends. The CFO therefore ensures that each potential project in the company provides a higher rate of return than what a shareholder could have got if he had invested on other investment. If there are no such business opportunities, then one of the things the CFO decides along with senior management is to distribute these retained earnings to the shareholders as dividend. This is also known as opportunity cost of using the shareholder funds. However, this marginal principle of retained earning has one major flaw, where if it is used for declaring dividends, it does not consider the shareholders' expectation from the company in which they have invested their funds and wish to be stay invested. So many prudent corporations also balance the dividend expectation and on reliance on marginal principle of retained earnings by weighing the preferences of the shareholders and sometimes releasing higher amount for dividend. This step resolves uncertainties in the mind of the shareholders. Another area where CFO plays a very big part is when the company wants to expand or diversify. So when substantial expansion or diversification of the business is planned, CFO needs to arrange long-term funds to finance the activity. They have a big question whether to go for additional equity or take debt. Obviously, equity capital, because it's the owner capital, is the first preferred source of long-term finance, because you want people to be invested for long-term, and it does offer certain advantages. The payment of dividend to shareholder is not mandatory. That's the biggest advantage. That means you need not pay dividends. You can stay invested for long. You can use retained earnings and actually in the long term ensure that the capital cash is there, and then give returns to the shareholders in terms of bonus shares, or if the EPS goes up, then the market price of the share will go up. the larger equity capital is better, the debt equity ratio, which in turn increases the net worth of the company along its creditworthiness. But equity source is one of the costliest source of finance, because the rate of return which is expected by equity shareholders is generally higher than the rate required by other investors, because they take a risk of ownership. The dividend also has to be paid out of after tax earnings, while the interest is paid on debt reduces the tax burden, as the expense of interest as tax is tax deductible. So this is very important understanding that one must have, that if an organization pays interest to its lenders, it is treated as business expense. So if after my operations my profit was 100 rupee and I paid 30 rupees as interest to the lenders, then my tax liability will be calculated on 70 rupees, that is 100 minus 30. However, if I do not have lenders and therefore no interest to be paid, I have to pay tax at 100 rupees, and balance of that tax is the amount that I can declare dividend on. Also, on this dividend declare, I have to deduct dividend distribution tax. So the amount actually which comes in the hand of the shareholders is after tax paid to the government in terms of income tax and tax paid again to the government in terms of dividend distribution tax. This plays an important element in decisions in dividend policy. There are also costs associated with managing equity issue, and these costs sometimes can be major. In case of smaller companies, if you go for raising additional equity, it can reduce your equity, share owners' equity, as a result of which control of the firm can also go away from them. So this is another risk in terms of equity capital raising. So how does one look at it for financing expansion and diversification? First is if you can generate through loans. Second is through preference shares. Third, you look at your internal reserves. And then fourth, you try to go for equity. While considering the debt option, so now we looked at equity majorly. Now, if you look at debt option, you also need to weigh advantages and disadvantages for long-term debt. So of course, one advantage that we have previously discussed, that any interest paid is tax deductible. So that's the biggest advantage. And this is given by the example. So a capital project providing you with 15% net return can be gainfully funded by 15% long-term debt. Another advantage of debt is that you know the exact amount that you need to be paying towards interest and repayments of debt and the duration of debt. So you are able to plan your cash flows much better. In inflationary conditions, so if the inflation is higher and it's increasing, the repayments are cheaper because the value of rupee has decreased. So total reliance on debt to fund major capital expenditure will result in higher debt equity ratio, which is frowned by firm's creditors and investors. So that's another element. So you don't want to have total reliance on debt, because your firm's creditors and investors may not like it. At the same time, you don't want total reliance on equity for the issues that we have discussed. So a CFO is expected to balance it. Also, one of the elements for business expansion is the hire purchase facility. So the company can also decide to not go for entire equity or debt, but go for hire purchase. And you take an asset, use it, and you pay monthly. And this payment is deductible as an expense. So for the duration of the hire purchase agreement, you pay periodic, which is either monthly or quarterly installment, consisting of interest and return of the capital. And At the end of this period, the ownership of the asset is then transferred back to you. So to summarize, every growing business firm, the main financial task includes management of cash flows, bank relationship, payroll, purchases, both of capital items as well as materials, acquisition of finance to run the show. The chief finance officer has to find opportunities to set aside funds to carry research and development activity in robust manner and get ready with the required funds when opportunity arises for either expansion or diversification. The field of finance is connected with both economics and accounting. Economics plays a major role in economic decisions like risk analysis, pricing of products after you study the supply and demand forces in the market, NPV concept to justify investments or determining the true worth of the entity. The company's profitability as measured in the books will be better or worse than its cash generation. This distinction I think is to be made very clear. Hence, study of cash flow is necessary to maintain liquidity of the organization to ensure the funds are available when needed. While tapping this source of finance, again, firm's bank and financial institute relationships matter in obtaining funds on the best rate of interest and suitable period for repayment. Firms need, in addition to long term, also need short term capital to fill in gaps for their working capital, and this they borrow as and when required from the banks. The CFO has a dual function in employee reward system. He has to ensure that he keeps them motivated and productive, and also the wage packets finalized is delivered to him on regular basis on the due dates and without any errors. The second part of employee reward is framing a pay package that is attractive to all employees and also to the economic to the organization. Primary finance function in purchasing is to make payments to the vendors based on agreed credit terms. The finance function can help in assisting the purchase managers to fix payment terms that are beneficial to both buyer and seller. In capital good industry, finance also gets involved when sales negotiation is being prepared for project or sale of equipment. If you are a leader in the industry in which you operate, you obviously will get a better credit terms because of your past performance. You also need to look at market environment, see what are the credit terms offered to your competitors, and strive to get better returns. Any company has two major choices in determining its credit policy for customers. On one hand, it can adopt a strict credit policy, which is tight-fisted policy, and do not grant credit to any customer, irrespective of credit rating. And on the other hand, it can have a liberal credit policy, and which gives credit to all customers, irrespective of credit rating, to minimize trade receivables in themselves and cost incurred in follow-ups to collect them. Finance manager has to decide whether to offer a cash discount or not. The CFO's goals of maximizing income of the entity results in accumulation of more and more funds for the entity. These funds can either be retained within the funds to increase its net worth or distributed to shareholders as dividend. And there are quite a few factors to be considered while finalizing your dividend policy for the firm. When substantial expansion or diversification of the business is planned, it is necessary to arrange long-term funds to finance the activity. One of the weaknesses or thing that you do not want is to try to finance a long-term investment with short-term financing, because that could be disastrous to the business. The funds can be arranged, the long-term funds that is, by raising the capital of the firm or by incurring long-term debt. Both have their advantages and disadvantages, which we have seen. So with that, we come to end of this segment. Thank you.